This is the reading for July 20th. Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has made its seven columns. She has prepared her food and wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her servant girls, and she calls out from the highest place in the city. She says to those who are uneducated, "Come in here, you foolish people. Come and eat my food and drink the wine I have prepared. Stop your foolish ways, and you will live. Take the road of understanding." If you correct someone who makes fun of wisdom, you will be insulted. If you correct an evil person, you will get hurt. Do not correct those who make fun of wisdom, or they will hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Teach the wise, and they will become even wiser. Teach good people, and they will learn even more. Wisdom begins with respect for the Lord, and understanding begins with knowing the Holy One. If you live wisely, you will live a long time. Wisdom will add years to your life. The wise person is rewarded by wisdom, but whoever makes fun of wisdom will suffer for it. Foolishness is like a loud woman. She does not have wisdom or knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, at the highest place in the city. She calls out to those who are passing by, who are going along, minding their own business. She says to those who are uneducated, "Come in here, you foolish people." Stolen water is sweeter, and food eaten in secret tastes better. But these people don't know that everyone who goes there dies, that her guests end up deep in the grave. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah did what the Lord said was right, just as his ancestor David had done. Hezekiah opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them in the first month of the first year he was king. Hezekiah brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them in the courtyard on the east side of the temple. Hezekiah said, "Listen to me, Levites. Make yourselves ready for the Lord's service and make holy the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove from the temple everything that makes it impure. Our ancestors were unfaithful to God and did what the Lord said was wrong. They left the Lord and stopped worshiping at the temple where he lives. They rejected him. They shut the doors of the porch of the temple, and they let the fire go out in the lamps. They stopped burning incense and offering burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. So the Lord became very angry with the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and he punished them. Other people are frightened and shocked by what he did to them, so they insult the people of Judah. You know these things are true. That is why our ancestors were killed in battle, and our sons, daughters, and wives were taken captive. Now I, Hezekiah, have decided to make an agreement with the Lord, the God of Israel, so he will not be angry with us anymore. My sons, don't waste any more time. The Lord chose you to stand before him, to serve him, to be his servants, and to burn incense to him. These are the Levites who started to work. From the Kohathite family, there were Mahath, son of Amasai, and Joel, son of Azariah. From the Merarite family, there were Kish, son of Abdi, and Azariah, son of Jehalalel. From the Gershonite family, there were Joah, son of Zimmah, and Eden, son of Joah. From Elizaphan's family, there were Shimri and Jeiel. From Asaph's family, there were Zechariah and Mattaniah. From Heman's family, there were Jehiel and Shimei. From Jeduthun's family, there were Shemaiah and Uzziel. These Levites gathered their brothers together and made themselves holy for service in the temple. Then they went into the temple of the Lord to purify it. They obeyed the king's command that had come from the Lord. When the priests went into the temple of the Lord to purify it, they took out all the unclean things they found in the temple of the Lord and put them in the temple courtyard. Then the Levites took these things out to the Kidron Valley. Beginning on the first day of the first month, they made the temple holy for the Lord's service. On the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the temple, and for eight more days, they made the temple of the Lord holy. So they finished on the 16th day of the first month. Then they went to King Hezekiah and said, "We have purified the entire temple of the Lord, the altar for burnt offerings and its utensils, and the table for the holy bread and all its utensils. When Ahaz was king, he was unfaithful to God and removed some things from the temple. But we have put them back and made them holy for the Lord. They are now in front of the Lord's altar. Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the leaders of the city and went up to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 male sheep, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats. These animals were an offering to remove the sin of the people and the kingdom of Judah and to make the temple ready for service to God. King Hezekiah commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer these animals on the Lord's altar. So the priests killed the bulls and sprinkled their blood on the altar. They killed the sheep and sprinkled their blood on the altar. Then they killed the lambs and sprinkled their blood on the altar. Then the priests brought the male goats for the sin offering before the king and the people there. After the king and the people put their hands on the goats, the priests killed them. With the goat's blood, they made an offering on the altar to remove the sins of the Israelites so they would belong to God. The king had said that the burnt offering and sin offering should be made for all Israel. King Hezekiah put the Levites in the temple of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, as David, Gad, and Nathan had commanded. Gad was the king's seer, and Nathan was a prophet. This command came from the Lord through his prophets. So the Levites stood ready with David's instruments of music, and the priests stood ready with their trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the singing to the Lord also began. The trumpets were blown, and the musical instruments of David, king of Israel, were played. All the people worshipped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters blew their trumpets until the burnt offering was finished. When the sacrifices were completed, King Hezekiah and everyone with him bowed down and worshipped. King Hezekiah and his officers ordered the Levites to praise the Lord, using the words David and Asaph the seer had used. So they praised God with joy and bowed down and worshipped. Then Hezekiah said, "Now that you people of Judah have given yourselves to the Lord, come near to the temple of the Lord, bring sacrifices and offerings to show thanks to him." So the people brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and anyone who was willing also brought burnt offerings. For burnt offerings, they brought a total of 70 bulls, 100 male sheep, and 200 lambs. All these animals were sacrificed as burnt offerings to the Lord. The holy offerings totaled 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep and goats. There were not enough priests to skin all the animals for the burnt offerings, so their relatives, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished and other priests should be made holy. The Levites had been more careful to make themselves holy for the Lord's service than the priests. There were many burnt offerings along with the fat of fellowship offerings and drink offerings. So the service in the temple of the Lord began again, and Hezekiah and the people were very happy that God had made it happen so quickly for his people. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. King Hezekiah sent messages to all the people of Israel and Judah, and he wrote letters to the people of Ephraim and Manasseh. Hezekiah invited all these people to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover for the Lord, the God of Israel. King Hezekiah, his officers, and all the people in Jerusalem agreed to celebrate the Passover in the 2nd month. They could not celebrate it at the normal time because not enough priests had made themselves ready to serve the Lord and the people had not yet gathered in Jerusalem. This plan satisfied King Hezekiah and all the people. So they made an announcement everywhere in Israel from Beersheba to Dan, telling the people to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover for the Lord, the God of Israel. For a long time, most of the people had not celebrated the Passover as the law commanded. At the king's command, the messengers took letters from him and his officers all through Israel and Judah. This is what the letters said: "People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then God will return to you who are still alive, who have escaped from the kings of Assyria. Don't be like your ancestors or your relatives. They turned against the Lord, the God of their ancestors. So he caused other people to be disgusted with them. You know this is true. Don't be stubborn as your ancestors were, but obey the Lord willingly. Come to the temple, which he has made holy forever. Serve the Lord your God, so he will not be angry with you. Come back to the Lord. Then the people who captured your relatives and children will be kind to them and will let them return to this land. The Lord your God is kind and merciful. He will not turn away from you if you return to Him. The messengers went to every town in Ephraim and Manasseh and all the way to Zebulun, but the people laughed at them and made fun of them. But some men from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun were sorry for what they had done and went to Jerusalem. And God united all the people of Judah in obeying King Hezekiah and his officers, because their command had come from the Lord. In the second month, a large crowd came together in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The people removed the altars and incense altars to gods in Jerusalem and threw them to the Kidron Valley. They killed the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed, so they made themselves holy and brought burnt offerings into the temple of the Lord. They took their regular places in the temple as the teachings of Moses, the man of God, commanded. The Levites gave the blood of the sacrifices to the priests, who sprinkled it on the altar. Since many people in the crowd had not made themselves holy, the Levites killed the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean. The Levites made each lamb holy for the Lord. Although many people from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves for the feast, they ate the Passover even though it was against the law. So Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "Lord, you are good. You are the Lord, the God of our ancestors. Please forgive all those who tried to obey you, even if they did not make themselves clean as the rule of the temple command." The Lord listened to Hezekiah's prayer, and he healed the people. The Israelites in Jerusalem celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with great joy to the Lord. The Levites and priests praised the Lord every day with loud music. Hezekiah encouraged all the Levites, who showed they understood well how to do their service for the Lord. The people ate the feast for 7 days, offered fellowship offerings, and praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Then all the people agreed to stay 7 more days. So they celebrated with joy for 7 more days. Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep to the people. The officers gave 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep to the people. Many priests made themselves holy. All the people of Judah, the priests, the Levites, those who came from Israel, the foreigners from Israel, and the foreigners living in Judah were very happy. There was much joy in Jerusalem because there had not been a celebration like this since the time of Solomon, son of David, and king of Israel. The priests and Levites stood up and blessed the people, and God heard them because their prayer reached heaven, his holy home.
Chapter 16.
Paul arrived in the city of Derbe and then went to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. Timothy's mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was Greek. The believers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in those places and because he knew that Timothy's father was Greek. As they went through the cities, they told people about the decisions that the apostles and spiritual leaders in Jerusalem had made for the people. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew in numbers every day. Paul and Silas went through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit kept them from speaking the word in the province of Asia. They went to the province of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow this, so they passed by Mysia and went to the city of Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia. The man urged Paul, "Come to Macedonia to help us." As soon as Paul had seen the vision, we immediately looked for a way to go to Macedonia. We concluded that God had called us to tell the people of Macedonia about the good news. So we took a ship from Troas and sailed straight to the island of Samothrace. The next day we sailed to the city of Neapolis, and from there we went to the city of Philippi. Philippi is a leading city in that part of Macedonia, and it is a Roman colony. We were in this city for a number of days. On the day of worship, we went out of the city to a place along the river where we thought Jewish people gathered for prayer. We sat down and began talking to the women who had gathered there. A woman named Lydia was present. She was a convert to Judaism from the city of Thyatira and sold purple dye for a living. She was listening because the Lord made her willing to pay attention to what Paul said. When Lydia and her family were baptized, she invited us to stay at her home. She said, "If you're convinced that I believe in the Lord, then stay at my home." She insisted, so we did. One day, when we were going to the place of prayer, a female servant met us. She was possessed by an evil spirit that told fortunes. She made a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She used to follow Paul and shout, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They're telling you how you can be saved." She kept doing this for many days. Paul became annoyed, turned to the evil spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." As Paul said this, the evil spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities in the public square. In front of the Roman officials, they said, "These men are stirring up a lot of trouble in our city. They're Jews, and they're advocating customs that we can't accept or practice as Roman citizens." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered the guards to beat them with sticks. After they had hit Paul and Silas many times, they threw them in jail and ordered the jailer to keep them under tight security. So the jailer followed these orders and put Paul and Silas into solitary confinement with their feet in leg irons. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, a violent earthquake shook the foundations of the jail. All the doors immediately flew open, and all the prisoners' chains came loose. The jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open. Thinking the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted as loudly as he could, "Don't hurt yourself! We're all here!" The jailer asked for torches and rushed into the jail. He was trembling as he knelt in front of Paul and Silas. Then he took Paul and Silas outside and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your family will be saved." They spoke the Lord's word to the jailer and everyone in his home. At that hour of the night, the jailer washed Paul and Silas's wounds. The jailer and his entire family were baptized immediately. He took Paul and Silas upstairs into his home and gave them something to eat. He and his family were thrilled to be believers in God. In the morning, the Roman officials sent guards who told the jailer, "You can release those men now." The jailer reported this order to Paul by saying, "The officials have sent word to release you, so you can leave peacefully now." But Paul told the guards, "Roman officials have had us beaten publicly without a trial and have thrown us in jail, even though we're Roman citizens. Now are they going to throw us out secretly? There's no way they're going to get away with that. Have them escort us out." The guards reported to the officials what Paul had said. When the Roman officials heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were afraid. So the officials went to the jail and apologized to Paul and Silas. As the officials escorted Paul and Silas out of the jail, they asked them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas left the jail, they went to Lydia's house. They met with the believers, encouraged them, and then left.